على كل حال يعني الاهتمام ب يعني anyway taking care of the children is a big responsibility, especially here in the West. The child is a vacant envelope, is an empty envelope. If you don't fill it with good, it will be filled with bad, with evil. Because he goes to, as I said at the beginning, he goes to the school. Even if the school is Islamic school, he's still on the way, going, coming, he sees a lot of bad images. Bad images. So you, the girl, from early age, yani my, tell you something, my granddaughter, which is about three and a half years old, she cries if she is going out with her parents without her niqab and hijab. She cries. Why? Because they taught her that from the beginning. They make yani her enjoy it. And this will make her love it even if she is in the lands where it is not obligatory to come. She will and stick to it, she doesn't want to now give it away. So yani that I and I saw children who their parents yani were advised yani your daughter is 10 and she's not coming. She's just a small and she hears that. When she got an age of maturity, her father told her to put on the niqab. She said, no, I don't want to put it. I don't like it. She said like that, openly. Why? Because she wasn't raised up on it and become familiar to it. Now, try when you teach them the Quran, try to bring the Quran to them when they are even very young. And say, Alhamdulillah, be able to spell it very well. But once you see this word, Alhamdu, you know that this is Alhamdu. You say to him, spell it, he cannot spell it, Alif, Lam, Mim, Ha. He doesn't know what it is. But he knows that this word is like this. He can recite Quran very fluently and very nice. على كل حال there are many other يعني guidance of how to raise the children. Is there any question related to the subject or we can move to the other topic from that? Good question. القضاء والقدر. بعض أهل العلم يقول some of أهل العلم says that كتب في اللوح المحفوظ والقضاء ما نفذ على الأرض. نعم they say that the قضاء the قدر is what is written in the possessed book. The قضاء the قدر and the قضاء is what you see existence. نعم. وقال وقيل العكس. And some others said it is the opposite. The قضاء is what is written in the observed book and the قدر is what you see. لكن وبعضهم قال القضاء والقدر شيء واحد. And some of them said قضاء وقدر is one thing. It is only synonym to it. لكن كلاهما متعلق بما كتب في اللوح المحفوظ وما يراه الناس. But both of them related to what has been written in the visual book 50,000 years before Allah created heavens and earth, and also at the same time what people are going to see in this life world. نعم. فعلى كل حال الفرق بينهما دقيق جدا. ولا يضر عدم يعني تحديد احدهما او كذا. المهم ان كلها تتعلق بما يرى في هذه الحياة وانها قد كتب قبل 50,000 سنة. نعم. من خلق السماوات والارض. نعم.
He was confused with the issue of women going to funerals and burials, because he found conflicting hadith, some saying it's not useful, some saying yes. I think because they're not strictly. He was asking about this, and then he was asking after this about the issue of women crying at the graves. Is it the Muslim that gets punished, or is it the non-Muslim that gets punished? Or
you mean the Muslim gets punished, the buried one?
No, it's buried, yeah. Mm.
The non-Muslim is punished anyway. She's not going to get rid of punishment.
I think she said it's a hadith that says that the victim of the living causes punishment for the person who is dead.
فنسأل أي منبر، الله أعلم. الحديث is not صحيح، but العلماء say it is Muslim when it is the Muslim when he does not teach his family that this is haram. But if he told them that this is haram and after he passed away, they insisted to do it. ولا تزر وزيرة وزر أخرى. الله تعالى said ولا تزر وزيرة وزر أخرى. And no one would be punished for the other people's mistakes. Now, and in regard to the issue of visiting the girls, attending funeral?
Yeah, you know, the funeral procession, going to the burial, when the grave is beside the ground.
Woman?
A woman going, yes.
And he found hadith. I never come across to know that any hadith that any woman during the time of Rasulullah or Sahaba used to attend of the, at least for one incident, that they attended the funeral. The only hadith that it is the hadith of Mu'atiyah, when Rasulullah said to them, when his daughter Zainab passed away radiallahu anha, he said to Mu'atiyah يعني how to do the funeral. He told her how to do the funeral, and that's the only time when they attended. And when Ruqayya, his daughter, the wife of Uthman radiallahu anhu, passed away, يعني the hadith is clear that all the Sahaba came with Rasulullah sallam, there was not any woman. I doubt if, but if he is asking about the janaza prayer, yes, it is permissible to do the janaza prayer along with the men at the back side of the masjid. But in regards to attending the funeral and going with the janaza to the grave and attending the preparation of the grave, or, this is all as I know Allahu A'lam is not from the Sunnah. It's not from the Sunnah. It's only the men who does that. And all the hadith discourages talks about men. And in regard, as an extra information, in regard to visiting graves, and this I think he means by, and he came across the hadith that make him, it is in regard to the visiting graves. Visiting the graveyard. Visiting the graveyard have two hadith. One say لعن الله زائرات القبور. The curse of Allah is upon those women who visit the graves. والثاني لعن الله زوارات القبور. لعن الله زوارات القبور. The curse of Allah be upon those women who visit the grave. the graves regularly. There is a difference between Zawarat and Zairat. The hadith of Zairat is da'if. The hadith of Zairat is da'if. The hadith of Zawarat is sahih. So the women are allowed to visit the graves, but not regularly. Time to time. And Aisha radiallahu anha asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what should I say when I visit the grave? She did not say, what should the Muslim say when he visits the grave? She said, what should I say when I visit the grave? If it is not permissible, he would have told her, you should not visit the grave. Simple. Yeah. And she used to visit his grave, and her father's grave, up until Umar ibn Khattab was buried, she stopped. Anyway, it is, and the ulama said, depends, if an individual woman is so weak when she goes to the grave, she cries and like that, then this particular woman must not allow to go to the graveyard, even for once. Yeah. And in regard to the crying, as we said, that this is related to the Muslims, and the Muslim who do not teach his family the rulings of the rulings of janaiz and like that, then he will of course carry the responsibility of that and be punished for that. Now, Allahu a'lam.
So, Shaykh, you reminded me of the hadith where I said that she stepped in the grave of the Prophet of Allah and her father, and Prophet of Allah, when Umar came to stand in that place also. Some of the people, they use it as a saying that, we know that the Prophets are alive in their graves, but some of them use that as a proof that, the people can see and hear in their graves.
What do you think about this? No. It's not see and hear. No. Aisha, first of all, the Prophet was buried in her house, inside her house, and she was living there. She was living there. Alaykum salam. And when Abu Bakr Siddiq passed away, radiallahu anhu, he was buried there because this is the house of his daughter and the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when Umar radiallahu anhu was buried there, she left the house and went to other house. Alaykum salam. Now, it is a way of respect. It's not a way of respect to Umar radiallahu anhu. Not because Umar hears or sees or no. It's only or see what people say, other than what is in the hadith, where the Prophet ﷺ said that when the janazah is when the person is buried and the grave is covered, he hears the footstep of those people who are leaving now the graveyard. Just up to that limit. Why he hears it, why the Prophet ﷺ said he hears it, that means that right after they bury him, he will start hearing, or he will be in the position of questioning. And that's why he saw Salam when they put the soil over the grave, he said, ask Allah Ta'ala to provide tafbeet or firmness to your brother as he is now questioning. Now, Allah Ta'ala.
No, see when you're at the
funeral,
you meant to recite
anything? No, Quran, you mean? Yeah, no. Except in the salah, in the prayer. of janaza, Surah Al-Fatiha on the first takbir. The second takbir, you do salat ala nabi the way you do it in the salah, in the show. And in the third takbir, you make dua to the deceased body. And on the fourth, you make salah. Right. Some questions here before we go to the other topic. My mother encouraged me to wear
My mother encourages me to wear niqab, but I don't listen to her because I think it is not obligatory. Also, she forbids me to wear jeans in front of men. Is my mother correct? I am 11 years old. Please answer the question asked in the earlier paper. Is it earlier paper?
I answered the two questions, but I answered this and this. But let me tell you first. Your mother is right, and you have to obey her. And one addition thing, it is not to wear jeans in front of stranger men, but it is not to wear jeans at all. I don't recommend women to wear jeans. She can wear loose trousers and covered by long shirt to the knees, but even long shirt to the knees, not jeans. Any other clothes, but not jeans. If you go and do search behind the jeans clothes, you're going to be shocked. Who used to wear the jeans in the West? Jeans was to distinguish the bad women at the early times. And then it became something common like that. So we say that the Muslim woman should not wear something special and bad. And the second thing is, what is the difference between the genes of men and women? No difference. No difference. And even if we say wear long shirt, still the genes is seen exactly the same. But the woman, Muslim woman, must be distinguished in her clothes. Must be different in her clothes. Not to imitate the kuffar and the fasiqat, the kafirat and the fasiqat. Now, she should follow ummahat al-mu'mineen, the mothers of believers, wives of Rasulullah sallam, the companions. I don't say you wear like the old woman, but wear something, beautifies you but covers your body, not distinguish your body and tight and like this, short skirting or short dress. But you have to obey your mother, especially what she commanded you to do is something good, not bad. Although you said you are 11 years old, and it may not be obligatory upon you to cover your face from now, from this age. But it is good to, as I told you, that the 3.5 years old daughters, my granddaughter, is crying. If the parents want her to come out without the niqab. So what about you, 11 years old? My advice to you is, put on your niqab. You are so valuable. You are like pearl. You are like a diamond. You are like jewelry. Not everyone should see. Only certain people who are your maharim. Now your father, your brother, your uncle, like that. Allah Akbar. What do you mean, say it's not the time? Tai, we said, tai is not allowed. Not allowed. Tai, tai and skin, clothes, I chose these skin, short clothes, or clothes that, I mean, like some woman wears abaya with sleeves. What is that? She's wearing a dress now, not abaya. This is not abaya, this is a dress. Now, woman should not wear the abaya with dress, said with the sleeve, but it's being one piece. Now, not like the thobe of the men. Now, and at the same time, she does not wear some clothes that describe the body like this, wide trousers, and over it, long shirt to the knee, like that, and if possible. Allah. Now. Hello? Hey, talk about it. Okay, this is a good question, the trousers. Whether it's asked the trousers from the clothes of men only, and if it is only for men, is it allowed for her to wear to her husband? No, the trouser is not from the special clothes of men. Because the women are during the time of Sarawin used to wear trousers. They used to call them Sarawin. They used to wear trousers. And it gives more coverage, more better coverage than the dress or the skirt. Now, but to wear it, the way many women today wear it is not permissible. The shirt is short, or they put the shirt under the trouser over the shirt, or the trouser go tight, or this is not permissible. In regard to, there is no limit. No limit. Wife and husband can see from each other whatever they want to see. Now, if it is only husband and wife, there is no any third person, even if it is a child. Now, Allah.
Question is, how much right does the wife have and for her husband to get rid of the children?
Now, we answer this question. Yeah. Now, this is not it. But I didn't see the question because she said 1, 2, 3. This one did not get me by 10.
In your opinion, should the wife obey the husband if he requests her to take the niqab, place them in front of his brother or other non-mahram men, and sit with them in the same room, or should she insist on segregation, sitting in a separate room, as it will prevent fitna from inshallah?
Jazakallahu khairan wa jazakallahu. Allah عز وجل يقول في كتابه إنما الطاعة بالمعروف إنما الطاعة لا عفوا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إنما الطاعة بالمعروف. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم say obedience should only be be on something بالمعروف. Here means what the Sharia came with. What the Sharia came with. Naam. And he saw someone said, لا طاعة المخلوق في معصية الخالق. There is no obedience for the slave. Naam. No obedience to the slave for the disobedience of the Lord or the Creator. Based on these two ahadith, we understand that we, as just now, wearing the niqab, is it a ta'a, obedient to Allah, or cultural action. If it is a ta'a and obedience, then it is something either wajib or mustahab. If it is something mustahab or you are in sin, you committed a disobedience to Allah, to be your heart. Nah? So that's haram. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Alhamu al-mawt. Alhamu al-mawt. And then he was asked, is he the brother of the husband? He said, who else? So the relatives of the husband are called Hamu. And he said, Hamu is the death, meaning if the woman is forced to the relatives of the husband, this is going to kill, to cause killing, because suspicion is going to be seen wrong. Yeah? So the woman must not take off her niqab in front of the brother, the uncle of the husband. Only the husband and his father. And his son from other wife. His son from other wife. But her brother, his brother, his uncle, and cousin, these all are not allowed. His nephews not allowed for her to uncover to the Malaya. First of all, we have to differentiate between the culture of the kuffar or culture of fasaq. Custom of fasaq, and the permissible things to be done. Yeah, when we say, is it permissible for a woman to wear makeup? We say yeah, it is permissible. But there is a certain makeup only used by very bad women. Yani, they know, and I'm as a husband, my wife tells me that there are certain type of makeup, when the woman wears them, it means that they are bad women. Now, there are certain things, and for example, as I said, like this, it becomes haram. Not for makeup is haram to be worn, but it is for that. This type of makeup is only for certain people who are, certain women who are bad. And it just leaves bad for you. Nah? But it is bad. So in this case, it is haram. Now we look to the thing that Brother mentioned now. Husband and wife holding hand of each other and walking in street. Now, I don't know, but usually, I don't know, in my understanding, that this is usually to be done by boyfriends and girlfriends. Usually. Yani, you are afraid that she ran away. then you bring what you call this handcuff, so she cannot run away. So when Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم wanted to raise Aisha, he told the Sahaba, "Go ahead, till that they cannot see them." So he erased it. He ran with it. Now, he did not do that in front of them. Although, Aisha is their mother. The mother of believers. Now, and there is difference between one hand يعني, attached to other hand. يعني, him and his wife hand, يعني, holding hands of each other and swinging at them. What is that? Two lovers or what? Everybody would think that these are two lovers. Now, but يعني, he's crossing the road and he grabbed her hand to make her يعني, go fast. Logic, there is يعني, but I mean يعني, we should يعني, stay away from suspicion. Now, I don't see any يعني, need for husband and wife, Muslim husband and wife, walking in the street in London holding hands of each other. I don't see any, although any, here it is something, yani, it's nothing, yani, it's nothing. Yani, compared to the custom of people, it means nothing. Yani. It does, I don't know, is it good? Five. Are you married to a baby? She doesn't get lost again. Yeah, if there is a need, no problem. But yani, if it is a habit, this is yani, I look to it as something in there. Mainly because I'm not living here, I'm from the east. It's different to me. Yeah? Maybe because we were considered not good. You know, me and my wife walk early in the morning by the beach in Jeddah, just yani, fast walking for exercise. We sometimes yani, don't even walk beside each other. Because there it is yani, something not yani, people are not familiar to it. But I didn't say that it is yani, in Hajj, I hold the hand of my wife. Because seriously, she gets lost there. She can't get lost there. Because people there for first time, huh? Yeah, they get lost easily. Yeah? But yani everyone yani need to judge it himself, Allah. Adan?
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
لا إله إلا الله. Now, here the question says, what can you do when a Muslim that you know dies and the family buried him in a kafir graveyard? What can you do? I don't know what you mean by what can you do. Yani, in the term of visiting the grave? Yeah, you visit him, but you visit him and you make dua for him alone. You don't make the dua that you make when you visit the graveyard, the Muslim graveyard. You visit. You visit his graveyard. You don't say the Muslim graveyard. لكن أنتم هنا الله يعينكم. You may Allah Ta'ala help you. I visited one graveyard here. I think all the other graveyards are the same. There is no one special graveyard for Muslims. Correct?
They both have one in Essex. It's called the Cardinal Paradise.
Special for Muslims. Alhamdulillah. But when you come to special for Muslim, you see the Shia, Ali, Fatima. I saw this. They put the stone. And you come to see all stones, and they put flowers and toys. And I visited one graveyard here in the UK. I asked the brother to take me there, and I was shocked. Yani. When I enter, on left hand, the graveyard of the kuffar, stones, names, this and flowers and toys and, And then we moved ahead. And then he said, this is the graveyard of Muslims. Where? Yeah. I only noticed one thing. The writing stuff to be in Arabic. Mm-hmm. Ya Ali, Ya Fatima, and like that. Said, SubhanAllah. This is the Muslim graveyard. SubhanAllah. But anyway, when you visit his grave, you make dua for him. Wallahu A'lam. But if there is any possibility that he be moved from there to the Muslim yard, graveyard, would be better. But I don't think so it is possible here. After he's buried, I don't think they allow to open the grave and put him in the Muslim side. Permissible? Then the Muslims should do that. They should go and claim to the government or to the municipality or whoever to remove this Muslim from that area to the Muslim graveyard.
It is wajib
that the Muslim, the community, pay the cost for it, especially if he is Muslim from a kuffar family. It seems like he is from a kuffar family, that's why they buried him in the kuffar yard. Is driving permissible for a woman or not? If it is permissible, why in Saudi Arabia not permissible? Shukran. Afwan. When you come to Saudi Arabia, we answer the part of Saudi Arabia. But you are now in the UK, we will tell you the answer of UK. Now? Although the situation is different in the West, but I still do not recommend the woman to drive, even in the UK. Even in the UK. There are lots of risks in women driving a car. Now, at least, and I always say to the brothers, MashaAllah, she puts all of her makeup going to work. she had bought all the perfumes, and yani she done all what can attract men. On the way, she had a flat tire. What is she going to do? Open the trunk, the boot, bring the jack. And she, and just before I come to UK, I was driving from Medina to Jeddah, and I had a flat tire. Me and my family, my sons with me, and I told my son, please remove or loose, untie the nuts, the bolts. He tried, he couldn't. I said to his elder brother, go and help us. Both of them could not. I say, must the elephant come? I can't. Jumbo size. I pushed, I couldn't. I stood over the wrench. It did not loose, did not get loose. You know? Try very hard. And the trailers come, the lorries, you call them lorries, the trailers, come beside us. I say, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save God us. Very hardly we had it removed. Now, if she is in this position, what is she going to do? What is she going to do? I don't want to get into details. But I saw a documentary of a crime in the United States. A woman was driving, and the patrol was chasing her, and then he signaled her to park aside. She parked aside, and he came and told her to come off the car, and he took her under the threat of the gun to the bushes, and he waved there and killed him. And if this happened from a policeman, how come these people are trusted? But we say, Akhi, is there a necessity? Is there a real need? As I said, it is like the first question. What do you say about women go to work? It become a fashion, it become a habit. It become a hobby. Yani she wants to do this, just that. Why he is doing, why not me? You know? If there is a necessity, if there is a widow woman, has no relatives, we say, okay, there is some kind of, but her husband is there. Him getting himself involved in visiting friends and this and that, and he throws the kids for her. Okay, you can take the kids to school. And later on she comes, wants the sheikh for khula. Why? He doesn't care responsibilities. He always asks me to go and take kids to the school. Because you love it. You want to drive. Okay. Drive the kids to school. You know? So, it's not a big thing, but when she is going to drive. Although here in the UK, I saw a Muslim woman driving, mashallah, in full niqab. And I was told that they have no problem with that. Which is good. Woman driving is not the issue. It's not haram by itself. But what comes out of it, the thing that makes the ulama say it is haram. At least too many things that cause problems. But if with the conditions of Sharia, no problem. If she is wearing her niqab and she is alhamdulillah in safe, no problem. She can drive. Now why in Saudi Arabia women are not allowed to drive? It is because, first of all, it is something not wajib for her to drive. Second thing is, from what the ruler, it is a right of a ruler to see the advantages and disadvantages. Now, and we ask Allah Ta'ala that the woman in Saudi Arabia never drive, because we consider our women queens. You have only in the UK one queen. United States, Masakin, they didn't have any queen. But in Saudi Arabia, we have millions of queens, alhamdulillah. Millions of queens. She's the queen. I am the servant. I'm the driver. Wallahi. I'm the buyer. I'm the one who go and buy. Not like your family is here. She goes and buys and, you know, but I go buy. She just drives down the list and I go bring everything for her. And sometimes she says, no, 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 this is not the good thing I need. Okay, sir. I get it. Seriously, wallahi, akhwan. I gotta go back and bring it back for her. She lives like a queen. She lives like a queen. I suggested one day to my wife, should I teach you how to drive? She said, why? I said, maybe you want to drive. She said, no. If I drive, I become like you then. We become equal now. You're a driver, I'm a driver. No, you're a driver, I'm the master. I sit in the back seat, and I tell you where to take me. And I had a debate one day with a Lebanese brother in Saudi Arabia. We were in King Fahd University. We have seminars there. And in the buffet, we were eating, and then he said, "Okay, why?" He came, just came from Lebanon for the seminar. He said, "Why you in Saudi Arabia do not allow women to drive?" I said to him like this, what I said, yani, she is queen, this, this. And then I said, "Akhi, why should she drive? Why should she drive if she finds someone drives her? Why should she go to the market and buy fruit and vegetables if there is someone go and do this?" I asked him, "Where do you live?" He said, "In Lebanon." I said, "Do you see the president's wife drive there, or she has more than one driver? And whenever the driver gets late, she starts screaming at his face. Don't you understand? Don't, because she is now. But if she drives, she can scream to no one. Now, that, yani, we are giving the woman very, very high level and rank. Now, those who want her to drive, they want to see her equal to us. Equal by the meaning in the difficulties. They always say, where is the equalization, man and woman? Now, to limit that, they cause her now wear the police suit and chase the drug dealers and thieves and maybe they fight, you know? And to limit that, they cause her to go and study engineering, and then she get the jackhammer and break the asphalt. Our woman cannot do that. Cannot do that. No, no, no. You know, Juan, your women here use a lot of paste and yani, chemicals to soften their hands. Believe me, our women hands are very soft, naturally. Because we don't make them do hard work. We do this for them. When my wife decided to change the design of the garden, I said, "You just show me what you want to do, and I'll do it for you." She wanted to, she insisted to do it. She said, "I have time." I said, "No, no, your time, you just bring a chair and table, sit there, drink some juice, and you just command me. Hey, you, put it here. Hey, you, put it there." Alhamdulillah. She's a queen. My wife doesn't want to give up this position, a queen to become a servant or a soldier. She's a queen. Now, so this is why. If this question came from a sister, I say, "Sister, you need to go to Saudi Arabia to be a queen. والله أعلم. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام.